Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, it is time for Nerd Alerts. This is one of my favorite segments because I don't really have to do anything except respond to stuff Mikey throws out there and then just verbal diarrhea all over the place.
Hey, and it's fun for me because I get to surprise you with just stuff that's happening on the internet. Hooray.
Yes. So fun. So we hope everyone had a good, this will come out after Halloween. We hope everyone had a good spooky season weekend.
Yep.
It is Halloween for us as we record it. So boo.
Trick or treat.
So we hope everyone has a good time out there and hopefully everyone was safe and wasn't like dumb and had giant indoor parties with nobody wearing any masks or
I will say I've
the scariest thing of all.
I will say though, I have seen on the internet that people have like COVID friendly trick or treat candy distribution systems that like fly down off a tube and deliver to the driveway and leave it to nerd engineers that are just like, I'm gonna give people candy but from a distance. I love it.
Yes. Well, I don't even know what to do about it. I mean, usually we don't get tons of trick-or-treaters anyway. We're kind of, I mean, there's kids in our neighborhood, so I don't know what's going on, but I guess our neighborhood isn't frou-frou enough for people to, you know, I think they used to drive away to the full candy bar neighborhoods.
I was going
to
say, so you're not the neighborhood that gives out full-size candy bars because that's how you know it's, that's the indication of a good neighborhood.
Right. So I think that people avoid it. So what always happens is, you know, we overbuy candy and end up giving out like a half of one bag and then have like a bag and a half left. And then you get fat all the way to Thanksgiving and then get fatter at Thanksgiving and then fat all the way to Christmas. And then by January, you're like, how did I gain 20 pounds?
Oh, that's what the holiday season is for. I say just be the house that puts out a bowl and says take one and hope that that jerk kid doesn't come along and it takes the whole bucket. But for other than that, everybody can just take one. That seems to be the happy medium.
Yeah. It's usually the teenagers that roll by and take the whole bucket.
As John Mulaney says, eighth graders are the meanest people on the planet. So I believe it.
Well, that's true. Well, in the past, that's how we've gotten rid of excess candy. I'm like, just put the bowl out.
Yeah.
I go and watch. and then around like when it's a little too late to trick or treat, you'll hear like whispers of like, hurry up, go. And then you'll hear pitter pattering and running and go. And then you go out there and there'll be an empty bowl.
Well, since we are speaking of Halloween, I'm going to get right into my first nerd alert because it applies directly. This is great. We've talked about it on the podcast before. This is one of our favorites, but Sabrina season 4 is coming out December 31st.
Ooh!
Sabrina, the Chronicles of a Teenage Witch on Netflix. We're a big fan of it. I think we've done a whole bunch of episodes about it, maybe four or five.
Many. Too many in some people's eyes.
Oh, but hey, if you love something, why not talk about it? So that's what we're doing again. The sad news that comes with it is that this is a planned final season. So they're wrapping up the story arc. Any thoughts, reactions?
Well, I mean, I prefer when the storytellers are aware of when it's going to end so they can end it properly. I think that's why British stuff's a little better because when the can be a little better.
Yeah.
Because the way British do TV, they usually show up with an idea of the start and the finish of the series.
That's true.
Regardless of how popular it is. And then if it does get popular and they can think of something else, they'll bring it back. That's why you get these crazy things where like there'll be a show that's really popular and then another series of it will come out 3 years later because it took that long for them to think of something that they thought was good enough to put on TV. But here, of course, we've talked about it before on the podcast, in America, they just throw something against the wall. And if it gets popular, they're like, just keep giving us more. And that's why you end up with like these shows that started out good and then just jump the shark, literally sometimes. Happy Days.
Happy Days, you know, fun, yeah.
That's why that happens, because sometimes stories just can't go on and make sense anymore. So that's a good thing to me, because my family liked to watch the show Anne with an E.
Yep.
And that show got like the plug pulled on it. So there wasn't any real true resolution to it. So it kind of ended. It ended in a place where a season ends, but there was still, there weren't like tons of loose ends or anything. It's just a show about some girl up in Canada and olden times. But it wasn't like there was like crazy cliffhangers or anything. But there's still tons of places it could go. And it just wasn't able to. So hearing that the show is going to be over, you know, makes you kind of sad about it. But at the same time, hearing that it's being over on their own terms, that makes me happy, because they'll be able to tie it up in a nice, tidy little bow.
Oh, I'm with you. And we'll get to early cancellations of good series later in the segment. But with Sabrina, it is cool, because for where season four left off, as far as power creep and the thing like consistency, the things we love on this podcast, she left off as like the queen of hell. So there's only so many, there really are only so many branches that they can go with this story,
right?
To have it wrap up. So it makes sense that they have one more season to tie up all loose ends. But oh man, am I looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned power creep, because I was just reading them talking about, and this is kind of tangent, but still about power creep. Talking about how in like Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing games, how it seems like your characters will get to a certain level and then everyone will kind of get bored with the campaign and want to start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's specifically because of power creep, because you get to the point where you're so powerful because you're getting all this XP and stuff that it's like, what else can we do?
Yeah.
You know, where we already like pretty much rule the kingdom.
Yeah. You're the bravest band of murder hobos that the world has ever seen, and there's nothing that they can throw against you.
So it's interesting that it kind of like caps off. People have noticed that it keeps happening over and over and over again. And it's true. I've been role-playing for 30 years now, I guess. Jeez. And sure enough, it always happens. You get to a point where it's just like, well, what do we do now? Yeah. You know?
Which person do we go kill without threat or challenge? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. And I don't know if this lines up with the, because I haven't kept up with the Sabrina graphic novel, so I don't know if the TV show lines up with the end of the arc. But knowing it comes from a graphic novel standpoint, it makes sense that there's like a start and an end to the arc. So that's fitting. I look forward to seeing it. I'm super excited for it. But look for that on December 31st. It's coming out for Christmas. I don't know if their first episode is going to be a holiday special. They've done that before, so we'll see how that goes. But we are getting 8 more episodes. They will be the standard hour-long length. So look forward to that. If you're a fan like we are, should be a fun time. Sort of on the cancellation release show Netflix new streaming era, this is something interesting that I found from Twitter. Another property that we've talked about on the podcast is the Expanse series from Sci-Fi.
Yes.
By James S.A. Corey, who wrote the novels, but they've made a TV show, and both are excellent, so go check both of those out. But on Twitter, I found it really interesting. James S.A. Corey spoke up because apparently they were getting a little bit of hate. People were like, why are you releasing it on a weekly schedule? Why not just put it all out? And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but James S.A. Corey just mirrors everything that we've been thinking, and it's cool to see somebody sort of in the same mind state, in that they put out a statement that says, we're releasing it in a weekly format, so you still get the water cooler talk at work. You get to build the world, and it seems in this day and age, shows that just release all at once, you know about them for a week, and then they're gone forever, you know? So The Expanse is coming back, but they're doing the weekly release, and I support that 100%. Any thoughts, any critiques on your part, Kev?
No, I mean, we've been very much on the side of weekly release. A lot of it has to do with us being older, I guess, and kind of me definitely being older. I'm used to that anyway.
Yeah, that's old school.
You had to be there to see it. I mean, to me, it's, I don't understand. I don't understand the problem, because I come from the era, I'm old enough to come from the era where stuff was weekly released. And if you missed it, unless you had your VCR set to record it and later your DVR set to record it, you missed it.
Yeah.
So, but now it's like weekly released, but it's sitting there waiting for you. So you don't even have to set up your VCR. I mean, people are so spoiled, man. I mean, they don't even know the pain of having to sit there and program your VCR to record. Like this day at this time, it wasn't even on screen on the early ones. It was on a little LED that was on screen that was on the VCR itself.
Yep,
you had to set it like your alarm clock, basically.
Absolutely, there was no option of going to YouTube and watching it later. You had to do it.
Yeah, and then also it was like you had to tell everyone in your family, like, "Hey, man, there's a tape in there." That's ready to record. Don't touch the VCR.
Don't touch the VCR.
You know, and inevitably one of your family members would pull something out. And then next thing you know, either you didn't get recorded at all or suddenly you're like recording over someone's wedding video.
I was going to say
it's a disaster, right?
You got to make sure you don't pull out the VHS that your father's like 1984 football NCAA championship tape that he watches. You know, you can't record over that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, man. So, wah-wah, it only comes out every week, and it's sitting there waiting for you when you're ready to watch it, wah-wah. That's what I say, wah.
I'm with you. I do notice that the shows that purposefully do the weekly release, it does build that same momentum of the shows we used to watch when we were kids, when you had to wait a week for it to come out. Like, we're still talking about it at work. We're going to talk about another show in here in a minute that's the perfect epitome of that, but I'm just glad that The Expanse has that in mind, because that show is so creatively minded and super awesome sci-fi that if you're a fan of just the fact that they support weekly release, you'll probably enjoy the show anyway, just because the creators are of that mind.
Yes. I think everything should just be done that way. I don't see the reason for putting it all out at once. It's just, come on, man, just watch that way. You can watch your show and maybe watch another show and then go and read a book or do something else, take a walk. But when you're sitting there just 8 hours of one show, come on. I'm almost going William Shatner, SNL. Like, get a life.
I'm totally with you. And it does seem like we were talking about cancellations. It seems like things are getting canceled early because of the whole, like, we put it all out at once, people watched it for a week, and then they forgot about it. It's like, well, that's not how you judge a show. I mean, give it a chance to flourish and live a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, they watched it in 2 weeks. We're done with it. On to the next thing. And I'm like, no, there's so much good stuff out there.
Right.
But speaking of excellent stuff out there, we are recording one day after the release of the first episode, the first weekly release of Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 1.
It was so good. Talk about water cooler talk.
So good.
It was full of water cooler talk. We're not going to spoil anything here because we're definitely in the window of like, shut up, I might not have seen it yet.
So, exactly. Yep. We're still
just letting you guys know we're not going to spoil it, but we are going to kind of talk around it in the best way we can. And like Mikey said, this is one of the best examples of water cooler talk. And just sitting down to watch it, seeing that there was just that one episode, my family was so excited. You know, we all sat down to watch it. And when it was over, it was just time to turn it off because there was nothing else. And then you just sit there and just break it down.
Yep.
It's an event. It's like watching a sporting event or something. You know, after it's over, I know this is a nerd podcast and a lot of them don't know sports, but basically when you're watching sports after it's over, it's all about like, oh, the ref's this and oh, did you see that play and when he did this and when this happened, and you're breaking it down because guess what, jocks? You're nerds too. You're just sports nerds.
Oh, I'm with you 100%.
So it added fun to it. There wasn't anything else to watch. So we're sitting there talking about it, and texts were flying between all the assuming positions guys on our crew and all our friends. And I think there was two different threads going on and two different text threads with different circles of friends that Mikey and I are in.
Yeah.
And memes and Baby Yoda all over the place. And
oh, Baby Yoda is the best. But it is cool because like, it brings back that old school, like, have you seen it yet? I don't want to spoil it. We got to make sure everybody's seen it before we start talking about it, you know?
Right. So the brilliance of this one, the brilliance of Filoni, and one thing that my kids said is, my kids kind of, they're Zoomers, they're in their teens right now, so they grew up with Filoni Star Wars. They grew up watching Clone Wars. They grew up watching Rebels. So when they're watching this, they're like, this feels exactly like a Clone Wars episode, and it should, because it's the same people.
True.
Right? And it's like, they're saying this is like Clone Wars for adults. And I have to tell everyone out there, I mean, the Clone Wars is really good stuff to watch. There's a lot of good stuff in there. But the things that were in here, they brought a, there was tons of Easter eggs in here. There's tons of stuff for fans of all the different Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's not a spoiler is that there's this funny segment where some droids got into some shenanigans. And I was like, that's prequels right there. That was a prequels scene, basically. But it was nestled in there so perfectly, it didn't bother me. It wasn't like, ugh, this is like the prequels. It was like, oh, huh, it's like the prequels.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a nice little nod there. And then there's so many Easter eggs in this. There's so much bringing in things from that were only in books and comics into live action canon. So Timothy Oliphant is in it, right?
I wasn't sure if you were going to give that away, but
I'm not saying who he is. I'm just saying he's in it.
But I have to give my fan love to Timothy Oliphant. I watched him in every episode of Justified, and seeing him show up in Mandalorian just made my whole face smile. It was great.
Yes. So that character is a canon book character, which was, it was cool to see them bring that into live action.
Hell yeah.
And also, this wasn't in the episode, so this isn't a spoiler, but this is a rumor, and everyone is kind of aware. I think we've talked about this before, that Ahsoka is supposed to be showing up soon.
That is
eventually.
Yep.
And
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, that will be really neat to see another character that was in animation and books and comics and stuff come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff's really neat to me, that they're going ahead and just sucking that stuff in. But I'll tell you what, this is such a good start to the series. It was a nice little appetizer.
It was almost more like an action. Like, they've been doing the Western theme for at least most of the first season. You know, you can see the Man with No Name and the Good and Bad and the Ugly and all those references. And they're still continuing that sort of Clint Eastwood vibe to it. But
yes, very much.
Oh, but there's the first episode is so explosive. It's almost a side quest, kind of just get the job done. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it was great. And there's so many. They just put the surprises up right up front. Right, they were just like, "Here you go, guys."
And just for me, we still get to see Baby Yoda, but I do have to point out that I love the fact that Baby Yoda, at least in the early episodes of season two, seems to be like the comedic relief. He's just sort of in the background, and whenever they need to lighten the mood, they zoom in on his face, and he's hiding in a pot, and he's like, "Huh, cool."
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun. It's kind of interesting because they've proven that he can handle himself, and you can tell that Mando knows that he can handle himself, that Baby Yoda can handle himself.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, of course, he's protective of him because that's what's going on with the two of them. But at the same time, there's times where like you're like, well, he can't just leave. I mean, like, yeah, he can kind of just leave him there. He'll be fine.
That's the fun part. That's my favorite part of season two. I guess this is a hot take, but that's my favorite part of season two for all shows. Season one, you have to like sort of give exposition and character development and let you know all the pieces in play. And then once a show gets to season two, it's like, all right, you know all these players, you know the setting, so we're going to start having some fun. And it seems like they're taking full advantage of that for The Mandalorian.
Yes.
So,
and I have to say one more thing.
Go
is
for it.
That now that we've watched the Disney Gallery and we know how they make the thing,
mm-hmm.
Using that, they call the volume. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, they're crazy, like virtual in real time CGI room. Yeah,
yeah, in real time CGI that's built like an open world video game. I sit there and I'm like, I know how they do this, and I'm watching it, going like, you can't tell. It's amazing. It's amazing. I just love how this show has just opened up a whole new world of. They're going to be using this for everything, and it's going to be so good.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah,
it's going to be so good, and it's. I just love it as the fact that, because I always kind of lamented the fact that, and you could see it in some of the early CGI stuff and the things where, you know how like Ian McKellen, when he was playing Gandalf, was complaining about having to act to tennis balls on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
And just all the green screen and stuff like that, because he comes from theater, and even in theater, they can strip down theater, but they'll still have like a chair and a table or something, just enough for the actor to feel like he's in a space.
Yeah, some sort of prop, yeah.
And some of those things, if you watch some of the behind the scenes, some of those things get to the point where, like, he's serious. There's, like, nothing there but green and a guy dressed like Gandalf. And I can understand, as an actor, and he's one of the world's greatest actors,
yep.
He's complaining about that. And that kind of, like, you know, in my nerd heart, like, hurt my nerd heart in a way. Because you want Ian McKellen at his best.
Absolutely.
You know, and you want all actors at their best. So if that's throwing him off his game at the high level he's at, and I'm sure he's done tons of those just a table and chair stage plays and stuff. So if that's throwing off a guy like that, what are you getting from other, you know, lesser actors? So the fact that this volume thing is giving them visuals to where they are, and it looks like you're there, and they're all saying how amazing it is, it just bodes well for the future of movies, I think.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. And also, like, they're still keeping the aspect of practical is a big part of making it real, you know?
Yeah.
So even though they're in their volume, they're still building sets and prop pieces to sort of fill out that environment just to add that extra level to it.
Yeah.
My random trivia question, you're a bigger Star Wars nerd than I am. So what are the beast with the horns that they ride?
The Banthas.
Okay. So are those Banthas practical or CGI? What's your guess?
I don't know. They look like they were partial practical to me, for sure. Yeah, I don't know if they went and got elephants like they did, because that's what they were in the original ones. They're elephants.
Oh, really?
Dressed in costumes. Yeah, they're elephants dressed in costumes.
That's crazy. Okay.
So I don't know if they went and got, I seriously doubt they went and got elephants dressed in costumes. Seems like some, like, PETA and some of them might not be happy with that kind of stuff, but
I get it.
The world's different than it was in 1976 or whenever they were filming the original one. But yeah, it sure did look to me like at least like the head parts of it were practical.
It was just such a nice, like you're saying, there's a reference. They put Easter eggs in for everybody. And the Banthas seem to be just straight out of the original trilogy, the way they walked and they weaved.
Yeah,
it was total love and homage, and I loved every second of it.
It's great. It is amazing to me how across all the different Star Wars fans that they're just knocking it out of the park with this one. And it just makes me think, like, man, you should have just let Favreau and Filoni do the movies. Or from now on, just let them do everything, because they don't seem to be making a misstep right as of yet. Knock on Mandalorian Beskar armor.
Yeah, knock on armor for sure. But there is something comforting about if you see the name Dave Filoni now, you sort of know you're getting high quality product. And it that seems to be consistent. So thumbs up to
that. He truly is George Lucas's Padawan, man.
And he loves it like we do. So how can you not appreciate that? One more tit for tat at the end of our Star Wars news. The other thing that's in the headlines is that Ewan McGregor says that the Obi-Wan series coming to Disney Plus is a go, and they're going to start filming in March. It's happening. It's coming.
Awesome. That's great. And I bet you a lot of that has to do with the fact that they use this volume thing.
Yeah.
It's called because, I mean, if you're worried about pandemic, social distancing, and keeping everything a tight, secure set, well, what can be tighter and more secure than that thing?
Absolutely.
Because they don't have to go on location. You know what I mean? They don't have to.
They don't have to be in Tunisia. Where was the original? Was it Tunisia?
Tunisia.
Okay.
Yeah, Tunisia. Okay. So, I mean, terrific. That's awesome. That's so exciting, especially if they have the right people on it. Hopefully, Filoni will be overseeing aspects of that too.
Okay.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. I don't know who's attached to it directly, but I mean, I'm fingers crossed.
I know it's still in the Disney warehouse, so I don't know if it's Dave Filoni specifically, but it seems like it's, like, you know, they're staying in their in-home do-it-yourself volume, all that creative aspect. So it seems like it'll fit the rest of it, but the reason I bring it up is more for the internet hot take. It seems like recently Ewan McGregor has become the internet's Obi-Wan. Like, he's the best Obi-Wan. I know you're an old school, you're a Gen Xer, and your Alec Guinness was your first exposure.
Right.
Do you have a hot take either way? Do you take Alec Guinness or Ewan McGregor?
My take is that Ewan McGregor was probably one of the best things in the prequels and to come out of the prequels. And his playing of Obi-Wan was so respectful to what Alec Guinness did that I think that they're both Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
To me, it's the same. When I see Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan, I'm like, oh, that's Ewan McGregor old, basically.
Yep.
Or I see young Ewan McGregor playing, I'm like, that's Alec McGuinness young.
Yeah.
Because it's McGinnis. It's just Guinness, not McGinnis.
Yep, just Guinness.
McGregor. See, I'm mixing them up. That's how together they are in my mind.
They blend perfectly. I get it.
They blend perfectly. It doesn't happen often. I'm telling you, it doesn't happen often that happens with two actors playing one role where people will be so pleased by it. But I think that's why the internet is so accepting of him as Obi-Wan, because he just embodied that character really well. So
yeah. And I'll go one step further. It also seems like Ewan McGregor is one of those famous people that is kind of aware of the fandom that is around the properties that he's in. And he seems to be embracing it. Like every time somebody does, because prequel memes are a thing now, like, hello there, you know, like everybody knows those lines. And it seems like Ewan McGregor's picking up on that because he's hip and cool. I mean, who doesn't like Ewan McGregor? So that's wonderful that he seems to be appreciative of the mantle he's taking, like you're saying, you know?
Yes.
He's not trying to do something different from Alec Guinness. He's just trying to honor that and then also be the badass Obi-Wan that we know and love from the prequels.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't think of any other example. I mean, usually they have to do stuff like they did in Star Trek, where they're like, let's just make this a whole different timeline. So
except
Chris Pine is, because they're... But it's not, I mean, I'm not even a Star Trek fan, and those aren't the same guys.
Nope.
The William Shatner version of Kirk and the Chris Pine version of Kirk are not the same.
They aren't the same. I do have to do one sort of tidbit in there, in that Chris Pine seems to acknowledge it a little bit, but he does try to make it his own. But
right.
I'm with you.
So, and no offense to any of that. I'm just saying, I'm just sitting here trying to think of an example where that's happened. Where someone is playing the young version or whatever, or a different version that worked out as well as this one. And I really can't think of one.
It's probably out there. The internet probably has comments and critiques about people that have done it before. But
well, I know they did it with the X-Men movies, but those movies are the new X-Men movies where they have the young versions of them are considered junk, as far as I can tell, by most people.
That's true.
So it's not like, oh, yeah, he's doing such a good Patrick Stewart here. They just see it as like a whole different thing, really.
Yeah,
it's almost like a comic book that's drawn by a different artist, so everyone looks a little different.
And maybe that's where the leeway is, because that comes from comic book culture. It's like, hey, we have a new artist, a new writer, so here's our new arc, and people are like, okay, I'm on board or I'm not, so.
Yeah, just like they're changing Spider-Man all the time. It's always a different actor.
Oh, but if they keep making Spider-Man video games, man, those are some of the best video games I've ever played. But
yeah.
One more tip on the Star Wars news front. This is kind of Star Wars tangent, but it leads us perfectly into our next talking point. Oscar Isaacs, who plays Poe Dameron.
Yes.
Is slated to be the next Moon Knight. Are you a Moon Knight fan? Do you know about
Moon Knight? I do know that Moon Knight is one of the coolest looking, underrated,
yep.
not as well known.
Yeah.
B-level. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what to call it. There's like, you got the Spider-Mans and you got the, you know, Avengers and stuff. And then there's these sub comics that have very rabid fan bases because they've been around forever. So people are obviously buying the books, but they're more hard comic book nerd, I would say.
Yeah.
And Moon Knight to me is one of the coolest looking ones. So that is a cool looking costume.
Yeah, he's got the cowl and he's got the dark face and the whole white outfit. But I'm with you. It does seem like, here's my hope for it. They say that Moon Knight is in development by Marvel and Disney Plus, so we've got a good company behind it. But I hope they give it the same treatment that they gave Guardians of the Galaxy, because Guardians of the Galaxy, I would say, is that same B-list, like not everybody knew about them.
100%.
But once they came out, people were like, oh, this is rad. I see what you're talking about. So I hope that Moon Knight gets that same thing, because for people that don't know Moon Knight, he's essentially Batman, but a little bit crazier. Like there's some Egyptian god supernatural element to it. Mm-hmm. Not only does he have the millionaire playboy sort of alter ego, he also goes like undercover as like a taxi driver and an undercover cop. Like he's a crazy guy. I don't know how they're going to play this hero.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were able to do Deadpool, and I'd argue that Deadpool's way crazier than Moon Knight ever was.
True. Yep.
So we'll see. It'll be interesting. It'll be really fun. That's a great casting, because he has the chops to do that kind of mask off type stuff that will need to be done. That's a character you can as an actor, you'll really be able to dig your teeth into, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Because I know Oscar Isaac as Poe Dameron got, I guess, Hollywood status because of Star Wars, but he's had a whole career before he was ever Poe Dameron, and all right. of it's solid. I mean, he worked with the Coen brothers. He's worked with some great people. So I'm interested in this project just based on him alone. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, Poe Dameron was supposed to die in the first movie, but he's so awesome that.
Oh, really?
They kept him going. Yeah.
Okay.
So they kept him going. So there you go. Oscar Isaac for the win.
Thumbs up. We'll continue to follow it. Like I said, it's Marvel and Disney. There is no solid release date yet. I'm guessing, much like everything else that's happening this year, that it's coming out next year because everything seems to be on delay. But we'll look out for Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight. Ooh, it'll be fun. But also, we'll go one more adaption, one more TV show. I think this fits into both of our wheelhouses, but also in talks about making a series based off an existing property is they're making Assassin's Creed, the live-action TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Any thoughts?
Well, I did see that, and I have expressed thoughts on Assassin's Creed on the podcast before, haven't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's come up.
About how I'm kind of on board with some of the people who think that you need to abandon that modern-day story arc part of the game because after maybe the third or fourth one, I forget, this attaches perfectly. See, I'm making this stuff on this up on the spot, but this attaches perfectly to what we talked about earlier about TV series going too long, even after they buttoned up what they could do.
Yeah, lay it out.
So Assassin's Creed had, if you didn't know, and I don't want to spoil it just in case people haven't played it, but it's like a dual story where you're in the olden times assassins, and then there's this modern time thing mm-hmm. where that person is actually the person they're like going using this specific technology to go back into memories and history to do all that stuff or experience all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's actually stuff that's happened. You're not time traveling, but it's kind of complicated, but
kind of Matrix style, but yeah.
Yeah, but basically, by I believe it was the fourth one. I forget which numbers there are, but there was a whole arc with the modern day character that wrapped up with I believe it was the one that was set in the Revolutionary War times, which I played, and I think that was the fourth one. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. But the story had kind of wrapped itself up. So when they came out with the next one, the modern day element was something totally different that didn't really 100% have anything to do with the story before, but kind of did. And a lot of people felt like they were just being like, oh, we have to have a modern day element because that's what we did before.
Yep.
And then it went on with that. And a lot of people kind of got tired of the modern day element of it because they're like, this isn't as engaging as your original version because you wrapped up your original version.
Gotcha.
So it's almost like we said, it's almost like a lot of people are saying that game series jumped the shark, even though they like the old-timey play of it, the historical running around as a historical assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think they should just abandon the modern-day part and just have it be like a history game, almost like a Red Dead or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's that to it. I kind of agree with that because to me it did get a little wonky after they kind of wrapped up the story. So, you know, and I never really was a great big fan of when I had to do the modern day stuff anyway, because I was like, I just want to be back in olden times.
Yeah. So, I want to be an assassin. Like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like Red Dead so much. But that's not what this story is about. That's the argument of other people on the internet. And I get that argument too, that this story is a story that's set in modern day with people going back into genetic memories and reliving things in the past. That's what the story is.
Yes.
So if you don't like it, you don't like the story.
Agreed.
I get that too. I totally get that element of it too. But I think a lot of people may have been misled because it's not marketed as that. It's kind of marketed as like, you're a Viking, you're a pirate, you're a this, you're that. It's not like you're a modern day person experiencing these things. That's not how it's marketed. So I think a lot of people start playing it and are like, what the heck is going on? But I get it. So if this series is, I'm sure the series is probably going to be set in the modern day with people experiencing things in the past because mm-hmm. that's what it is. Hopefully, if they don't do that, then a lot of people are going to be really mad because that's not what it's about.
The internet will be aflame with fury. Absolutely. But I'm totally with you on people, like in the video game sense of Assassin's Creed, the modern parts are the boring parts. Absolutely. Because it's much cooler to play as the assassin in olden times. But if we're transitioning to a TV show, I think that's such an excellent, like, writer's crux to have, where you have this, the animus is what they call it in the game, but you yeah. have this sort of centralized matrix where you can sort of branch off into different stories, kind of like Dollhouse, kind of like The Matrix. I mean, there is a home base, and then you can just sort of go wherever you want with it, as long as it deals with assassins and hidden blades and all that stuff, which is the cool part. But I don't know. I think that is a cool setup for a show. Whether they honor it or not, is we'll have to wait and see, but I'm on board with it.
Yeah, it sounds I might like a show like that more than I like a game like that. So not that I don't like the game. The game's fun. Just the I'm on the side of the modern stuff would make me want to be like, when is this going to be over so I can go back to running around assassinating?
Plus, there's like, I think there's like 6 Assassin's Creed, maybe 7 right now. And I've only played maybe 3 of them. So you have to find the assassin you want to be more than the modern story. But
yeah, well, no, that's the thing, is that it's kind of open world-ish, sandboxy when you're in the assassin part of the world. And then when you're in the modern day part, you're kind of like stuck having to do what you can do to get back to the, you know, so it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I guess I'm just more a fan of like the Red Deads and the Fallouts and the things that are just like, here you are. The world's really open. Go find stuff to do. Have fun.
Yep.
In this little sandbox.
I get you.
So, but a lot of people love it. So awesome. We'll see what they do with the show. I'll probably watch it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's on my horizon. We're bringing it up in Nerd Alert. So keep an eye out for it. My hot take question, who would play the assassin for you? Do you have anything off the top of your head, maybe? Who might fill in the assassin? Because they haven't said who's going to be the lead. Michael Fassbender.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael Fassbender was in the reboot movie that everybody forgot about for good reason. But, I mean...
Wait, they did an Assassin's Creed movie?
See? You didn't even know about it. It came out in 2016. It made its money back. Yeah, but it was absolutely forgettable. So,
what was it called, Assassin's Creed?
It was.
Did you see it?
I did. And promptly forgot about it.
Like, did it have the animus in it and everything?
Only a little bit. It was more, like you were saying, it was more based in the actual historical time than it was in modern times. But they still made nods to it because it was based off the video game property.
Oh. Wow. Man, video game movies have such a checkered history, don't they?
Oh, check out Resident Evil. Absolutely. Ugh.
Yeah. They have such a checkered history. Wow. Video game movies. It's really hard. I think, and here's what we go over all over the place on Nerd Alerts.
Yep.
The problem with video game movies is that they're video game movies. People play the video game and they are in the video game doing the things in the video game. So they are part of it. So watching it on a screen is kind of like sitting there watching your friend play a video game, but not even as good.
Yeah.
Because you can't talk to him.
Yeah. Why'd you pick that narrative choice? You gave the wrong answer to the dialogue question. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is my, I guess, my hot take, but I want to see Jake Gyllenhaal be the Assassin's Creed. I don't know. That kind of fits for me. He may be old Hollywood now. I don't know. But that's the loose assumption I had for who might play the lead in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that's a good casting choice for sure. I don't know if he'd do, I don't know if it's weird enough for him anymore.
Haha, I get it.
So, man, I don't know. There's so many, I have such respect for actors, and they're more than capable, most of them, of doing those things, so.
And I think the bar has been raised by Henry Cavill being in Witcher, because how can you get better than that? I mean, that's now the new level, I guess.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And that's interesting, too. Witcher's interesting because technically not a video. That's like, it's a video game, was popular, but it's based on a book.
Yeah, book first.
So
yep.
the series is based on a book, not a video game, really. Even though Henry Cavill tries to act like the Avatar in the video game.
All his grunting and his vulgarity. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going with you, Jake Gyllenhaal, sure.
Okay, hey. Then maybe we'll put that out in the ether. If we called it now, that's a Vegas bet. If we get our money back, we'll see how it goes. But to wrap it up, like I said, we are recording this on Halloween, so it will be a little bit delayed when it comes out on Monday. But something that fits in our wheelhouse. I don't think Kevin's seen it. I haven't seen it yet because I haven't found the public release of it yet. But there is a new puppet series. We are fans of the Dark Crystal on this podcast.
Oh, do you know about the Dark Crystal?
Let's talk about it. Go for it.
They canceled it.
They canceled it because they didn't do the weekly release schedule. That's what we're talking about. Everybody watched the first one and they were like, we're done.
They didn't do a weekly release on that?
They didn't. Dark Crystal came out all at once. Everybody watched it and loved it and then forgot about it in about 2 weeks.
Ugh. Ugh.
I know.
Ugh.
Same. Same.
Ugh. Okay, sorry to bring everybody down.
No,
don't tell us the good news about puppets.
Okay, good news about puppets, but also hashtag justice for Dark Crystal because, oh, that was quality. Absolutely, you should have gotten at least 2 more seasons. But
yes,
to fill your puppet need, if you have a hole in your body from the lack of Dark Crystal, good news, there's a horror-themed puppet show coming out called Franken-Zed. Have you heard
Franken-Zed?
Have you heard about this at all?
No, not at all. Okay. Tell me all about it.
So this is, I love everything about this. But it's not the Henson Company, but it is a puppeteer company that seems to be right in that wheelhouse. They have the same sort of Wallace and Gromit, Jim Henson vibe where they're putting craft and care into the puppetry and scenes. But it's essentially, it's a full-on horror movie, gore and everything, no rules, everything's allowed, we can do whatever we want to puppets, horror movie, loosely based on Frankenstein, but kind of not really.
Wow, that's funny.
To read from the internet, it says, riffing on Frankenstein, Franken-Zed concerns 2 former servants to a wizard, Frank the Monster and Zed the Zombie, who tend to themselves in a rundown castle in a forest, but their peaceful existence is shattered when the villagers come for blood and avoid a demon curse that turns everyone into undead servants. So, much like the zombie apocalypse that we were just building for, they're doing that with puppets.
That's hilarious. Man, I love puppety stuff, but it makes me wonder, too. There seems to be, like, a puppet prejudice. No,
it's for kids, like, yeah.
Well, like I said, why do you cancel Dark Crystal? It's so good. And mm-hmm. then you got stuff like, remember Greg the Bunny?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
There's so much wonderful stuff like that
mm-hmm.
that never gets legs or anything. The only thing I think that was successful was like Alf.
Because he eats cats and I don't think most people like cats. I don't know.
But I don't know. It just seems like puppet related things that isn't like Sesame Street.
Yep.
It seems like it just gets belittled by people.
Yeah, because there is the common default, which is, oh, this is for children because it's puppets. But, I mean, this is a Kickstarter-funded project, so it's funded by people that want to see this.
Okay.
If you're an old-school fan of Meet the Feebles, original Peter Jackson stuff, I mean, this is right in that wheelhouse. So this is absolutely puppets for adults. I have no idea where they're going to take it. It was screened on October 10th for a horror movie festival called the Nightstream Film Festival. So I don't have any concrete details on when it's officially released, but it should be coming soon.
Fun. Wow. When you said Kickstarter, that answered the whole question. I bet you that's one of those things where, you know, they're trying to shop it around and everyone's like, puppets? Nah.
Yep.
Listen, Hollywood, get on board.
It turns out there's a lot of horror nerds with money that want to see puppets get dismembered. So,
yes,
I am one of those. I am on board. But that is our last nerd alert just for the Halloween theme. I hope everybody had a good Halloween and maybe play with puppets or dress up and get some candy. All that good stuff.
Yes, my spooky pizza is here with the jack-o'-lantern face on it.
My pizza has spiders on it. Oh, no.
Spider pizza. Man, every time the pizza shows up, that means we're going to turn off our mics and eat.
Yes.
So we hope you guys had fun listening to Nerd Alerts. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Again, please, because we can't go out there and meet everyone and go to conventions and stuff, share this with your friends. I know there's lots of podcasts to listen to, but ours isn't that long. Just shove it in there somewhere. It's good. So share it, like it. We're on all different platforms on social media. Follow us there at Assuming Pod. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mostly active on Instagram because that's the least toxic of them all. We are a nice podcast.
And we got some funny pictures done by Kevin. Excellent Photoshop work. So absolutely go check those out.
Even though I hashtag it bad Photoshop because I do it faster than I want to.
Oh, but. So somebody else's bad Photoshop is Mikey's favorite Photoshop.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We want to thank That Guy Brad for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for doing our music. And we hope you guys had a great spooky season and are looking forward to Turkey Day coming up this month. And we hope you're being safe out there. We will get through this and be back together again someday.
Someday in the future. Happy Halloween!
Ooh, spooky!
Lightning, bats. Oh, that's going at the end. Absolutely.
Holy crap.
Wonderful. Holy crap. Christina would be proud. Anyway.